Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week is a very special Shabbos. It's a Shabbos before Purim. It's Parshas Tetzaveh, which is the Parsha of the mitzvah of the menorah, kindling the menorah at the beginning of the Parsha, and then the garments of the Kohanim and so on. And it's also Parshas Zohar. It's the Parsha where we talk about the remembering what Amalek did to us when they came out of Egypt. When we came out of Egypt, and how we should destroy Amalek, and so on. It's a mitzvah, of course, to be in shul, to try to be in shul, to listen to that parsha being read at the end of the Parshas HaShavua. So I'm going to share with you an idea which is taken from Shvilei Pinchas, a very fundamental concept, a nice way of understanding a certain idea, and it connects the parsha, both the parsha and the Parsha Zohar. So, first of all, let's talk about Parshas Tetzaveh. There's a famous Balaturim. We know that this Parsha is the only Parsha from the beginning, from when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, from the beginning of Shmois, till the end of Bamidbar, the beginning of Dvarim, where every single Parsha mentions the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, except for this Parsha. The Balaturim explains because we read when the Jews transgressed the Egel Hazov, the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain and Hashem said, your flock have messed up and I'm going to destroy them and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu fought. He fought for the Jewish people. And one of the things he said to Hashem, that you have to forgive the Jewish people, v'im ayin, and if not, mecheini no mesifrecho asher kasavta. Erase me from the book that you wrote. Erase me from the Torah. Hashem ultimately did forgive us, but we know that we have a concept from the Gemara that a negative thing or a curse from a tzaddik, even if it's conditional, it still has an effect, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's name was taken out of one parsha, which is the parsha of Tetzaveh, which always comes around Zayin Adar, the 7th of Adar, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday and yahrzeit. And we need to understand what is the significance of the fact that specifically this parsha was chosen to do this idea. What does it mean? It seems like, and also specifically connected to the mitzvah of the menorah, because at the very beginning of the parasha, we see the emphasis that instead of saying, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, and Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, it says, Ve'ato tetzaveh, you will command the Jewish people to bring oil and to light the menorah, and it should be an eternal flame. Okay, so that's an interesting question. Let's pause that for a second and go to Amalek. We read it in Parsha Zohar. We say, Zohar asher she'asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you went out of Egypt. Now, baderech betzeischem Mitzrayim. Now, those words, baderech betzeischem Mitzrayim, are really extra because we know contextually from Parshas Beshalach, we know the story of Amalek. We know when it happened. We already know by the time we get to Parshas Zohar that it happened when the Jews came out of Egypt. So therefore, what is the idea of the Torah saying, remember what Amalek did on the way when you came out of Mitzrayim? Why did I have to say that? Okay, let's park that question for a moment. Let's connect all this with Purim. Purim is very around the corner. The Gemara tells us a very interesting thing, Haman min haTorah minay. Where's Haman hinted in the Torah? So the Gemara says, yes, after Adam and Chava sinned, and Hashem was, so to speak, looking for them, and he called out to them, and he said, Ayeka, where are you? And he said, Hamin, and they said, they're embarrassed, they were naked, whatever the case is. So they said, Hashem said, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicha. Is it that the tree that I told you, I commanded you, levilti achol, you shouldn't eat from it? Achol, so you ate? So the word hamin is spelled hey mem nun, the same letters as Haman, and therefore that's the hint to Lavan in the Torah, which is, of course, on the surface, completely bizarre. What has Haman got to do with the first forbidden fruit? What connection does Haman have with that whole story? And how does that connect, and how does that make Haman being hinted in the Torah? It just happens to be a word that has the same letters. It doesn't seem to be really connected. Okay. So he explains the following idea. We learn in the Pasuk of Mishlei, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of man. In other words, the neshama is compared to a candle. What is this idea? What's the concept compared to a candle? So one of the ways to explain it is he explains the following. We have this idea that when the menorah was in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, the Neir HaEmtsoi, the middle stem, the middle candle, at least according to many opinions, was the one called Neir HaMa'aravi, was the west, called the Western candle, for whatever reason, that's a whole discussion. But that was the candle that never went off. It was always there. Miraculously, it never extinguished. Had the same amount of oil as all the other candles, but never extinguished. The other candles burnt the whole night, but in the morning they were done. But this one was always there. That's why Neir Hashem, the Neir of God, which is the neshama of a person, is like a candle. And which candle? Like the Western candle, Neir HaRavi, that it never extinguishes. The neshama of a yid can never be extinguished, which means that even if a person should fail, even if they should sin, even if they should descend into the depths of failure, impurity, transgression, confusion, darkness, whatever it might be, the neshama can always be reignited, because the neshama deep down burns, lasts eternally. Which is, of course, an amazing thing, because we know that one of the things it says about the menorah, that it's testimony that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is always there with the Jewish people, which means that it doesn't matter, whatever we do, every situation we should be with, we should find ourselves in, we should always, and maybe we've distanced ourselves from Hashem, maybe like the Jews in Egypt, they've gone to the 49th level of tumah, of impurity, we should always know the neshama is always there. And if we just attach ourselves and look forward and attach ourselves to the dusha of the neshama, we can ascend, we can come up from that impurity and that transgression and that darkness and reconnect and start again and bring an amazing simcha. Now, Amalek was the exact antithesis of this. Amalek brings apathy to Jewish people, brings confusion. We know that Amalek has the same numerical value of Safek, doubt. It instills doubt. It takes us away from the confidence that we can serve Hashem properly, the conviction that we should serve Hashem properly, and so on and so forth. And one of the things Amalek does, we know one of the ideas explained that Amalek instills despondency, yish, giving up hope. That is why the Torah repeats it. The Torah says, Zocher es asher osa locha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did. Paderech, when you were on the way. What? When you were coming out of Egypt. In other words, when you came out of Egypt, you were going towards the Torah. The aim, the goal, was moving towards the Torah and to connect with the Neshama. Notwithstanding the fact that we came out of Mitzrayim at the 49th level of impurity, but Amalek wanted us to look backwards. Amalek, that's what the pasuk means. He attacked you on the way. When you were coming out of Egypt, Amalek's attack was, look backwards. Get defined by the past. Get defined by your failure. Look where you came from. You're nothing. How can you go to the Torah? How can you receive the Torah? How can you serve Hashem? And that's why the Torah says, Timcha es zecher Amalek. Erase the memory of Amalek. Another way to understand it is, erase the memories that Amalek is putting into your mind. Erase the memory of what happened yesterday, of the failures of yesterday, of the Egypt that you're coming from. That's Amalek. Now, of course, Haman comes from Amalek. So let's go back to where Haman is hinted in the Torah. Adam, Arishon, and Chava, they sinned with the first fruit. It was the first sin of humankind. They could do that. They had an option in front of them. There are two ways they could do it. Either they could see themselves a complete failure, or and just notice their shame, their failure, their mistake, and just get stuck and defined by that, or they can look at the neshama that they had. Hashem had given Adam Rishon a neshama, as we know. And they can look at that neshama and say, no, we've sinned, we've messed up, but we can still do tshuva, we can still move forward, and we can still reconnect to Hashem. And that is the interpretation of what Hashem says to them in the garden, Ayeka, where are you? Which one are you choosing? So Adam Rishon answers, we are afraid, we are naked, we are ashamed. Because that's what the Nachash did. That's what the snake did. He put into them the sense of, get stuck in your failure. No, take away your confidence. Look at your shame rather than your potential. So Hashem says to him, oh, Hamino Eitz, that tree. Is that what you're going to get stuck in? Are you going to get stuck in the mistake that you made? Yes, you've got to take responsibility. Yes, I'm going to punish you. But are you going to get stuck in that, or are you going to move forward and reconnect? And that's why Hamin Ha'etz. Hamin is the same letters as Haman. That is the Haman strategy. That's the Amalek strategy. And that's what Haman in the Purim story wanted the Jews to do. Haman said to Ahasuerus, no, the Jews have failed. They're asleep from Torah mitzvahs. They're done. And they have no fire in them anymore. They have no potential. They have no confidence. And I'll make sure that. I'll instill in them this lack of confidence for the future, and just that they should be despondent and get stuck in their spiritual slumber. That's what the term means. That we look at the Hashem was saying to, are you getting stuck in the Haman strategy? Are you remembering the trees that we're going to get stuck in? Or are you going to move forward to reconnect? And that's what it means, Haman from the Torah. Where do we find Haman in the Torah? Same letters, but the same, not just same letters. Same letters, you can always find words that have the same letters, but same letters as a spiritual strategy. Are you going to get stuck in the Hamin and the Eitz, like Haman, or are you going to move forward? This is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem on the mountain. Hashem said, they served the Egel Azov. They're finished. I'm going to destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you mean? Are you going to make them stuck in their idol worship? Don't we know that when they came out of Mitzrayim, we weren't stuck in our idol worship? We served idols, but Hashem made us go forward and go towards Matan Torah. You can't do that. You can't destroy them, because you have to lift them up and give them the vision forward, the potential to do tshuva, the potential to reconnect. And in fact, he says a beautiful thing. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheinino, wipe me out. Mem ches comes to the word mechia, to the thing, and ni and no, nun yud and nun aleph is ner Hashem nishmas Adam. He said, no, they have an neshama. The neshama is eternal. They can always reconnect. And this is the parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is absent, because actually the Mefarshim explain, he doesn't go at length in this, but it's explained many places, that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing is actually a greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Atah Tetzaveh. Not Moshe Rabbeinu the teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu this, Moshe Rabbeinu the one who is completely one with the Jewish people. His leadership and advocacy for the Jewish people is just who he is. And he says, and it says, V'ato tetzave, and where is it? Knew the mitzvah of the menorah. Because the menorah had the ner maravi, the middle stem, that was the eternal one. And this is the idea of the eternal neshama. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell Hashem. And here comes an amazing thing. We know that there are seven branches of the menorah, which represent the seven, we call it in Kabbalah, the seven shepherds of the Jewish people, which is similar to the seven ushpizim that we have on Sukkot. And Kabbalistically, according to the Zohar, how does it work? It goes in this order: Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. So there's seven. Which is the middle one? Moshe. Moshe is the middle menorah, the middle stem, the Neir Hashem, Nishmas Adam. And that's why he said to Hashem, you have to let them do tshuva, because they have a neshama. That's who I am. I'm the middle stem. I represent the eternity of the neshama. So all these things are all connected. Amalek, the first sin, Haman, who comes from the Torah, Purim, and the Parsha, but never looking back and getting stuck in the failures of yesterday, but rather understand the eternity of the Neshama and the ability to always reconnect with the Neshama and move forward. Have a wonderful day, a great Shabbos, and of course, a Freilicha, happy Purim.